You'll be paying more for your sugary drinks as of the 1st of April. SARS has confirmed that it will start collecting the sugary beverages levy. We call it more commonly the sugar tax from the 1st of April. Jerome Brink is a senior associate in the tax and exchange control practice at Cliff Decker Hoffmeyer. Jerome, good afternoon.
Hello, John. How are you? Thanks for having me on the show.
I'm very, very glad that I do not drink sugary drinks at all. It's bad enough having to pay more for my wine and whiskey, and I'm very pleased I'm not going to have to pay more for my Coke and Fanta. I know that it changed from the introductory levels which were proposed. What is the extra that people will be paying as of April 1?
Yeah, so originally the proposal had the amount a little bit higher. Obviously, there was a long consultative process, public process, and it was slightly revised down. And now it's essentially 2.1 cents per gram of sugar content. That exceeds 4 grams per 100 mils, and your first 4 grams are levy-free. Very simply, it's give or take, it's about 1.39 rand per litre of sugary soda, based on some of the studies.
What does that mean in terms of what's the standard 340ml can of Coke or Fanta or Sprite or whatever?
Yeah, so obviously that's revised down, and it will be 2.1 cents per 100 mils, so you're dealing with about 6.1 cents, and you'd have to do the calculations. But obviously the first 4 grams per 100 mils are free, and only thereafter do you pay tax on that.
It doesn't sound as if too many people are going to be put off consuming their favourite sugary drink by the imposition of the tax, because it seems at a relatively low level.
I guess that's the big debate, isn't it? The fact of the matter is that at the higher income level, it's generally price inelastic, and people generally just, you know, carry on and purchase their tobacco and purchase their spirits and the syntaxes, and it might be the same for the sugary beverages. However, it's likely to be more of an impact at the lower income levels and the poor, where, you know, a small increase like that can have a big impact on your sort of monthly expenditure. So again, in the similar way that people have discussed the increase in the VAT rate, it's probably going to have a bigger impact at lower income levels.
Is there evidence that people at that lower income level drink a lot of stuff? Look, I mean, one tends to think in terms of the best-known brands like Coke and Fanta and so on, but there might be other cheaper, lesser-known brands which are more frequently consumed by lower-income people.
Yes, absolutely. And I think a lot of the sort of the comments on it have been that, you know, again, at the higher level shouldn't be much of an impact, but at the lower level that's where you're probably going to see maybe a potential change. Some of the studies overseas, it was sort of a decrease in the immediate sort of years, Mexico being one example. But it'll be interesting to see if that was merely just an adjustment for 1 or 2 years, and then people sort of go back to their bad habits. As they say, bad habits die hard. So the tax may only have sort of a short-term impact, but we'll have to see how that plays out.
Is there any kind of estimation around as to how much revenue will be raised by this? I know that we don't have a system in South Africa of ring-fencing monies for particular purposes, but is a significant amount of revenue likely to come into this, some of which at least could be used to help fight in the public health system the kinds of diseases which are associated with excess of sugar consumption?
Yeah, look, I guess at this stage there's just estimations. Currently the estimation is about approximately 2 billion rand. If you have a look at sort of the overall budget and expenditure, it's not really a big player. But it's still, you know, SARS is under pressure to collect revenue, so every small bit helps, I guess. But as you pointed out as well, the ring fencing is also an issue. So again, it just goes into the larger pool of funds and is then dispersed through the normal national budget.
And the proponents of this tax, I mean, what sort of estimates were they putting on how much it cost the country to have a sugar fix, need for a sugar fix, the way a lot of people quite clearly do? I mean, it costs the country 25 billion to deal with the health implications of overconsumption of sugar. Was a figure put on the table?
Yeah, look, I think everyone has, you know, there have been different studies and there are a lot of differing views on this and whether it's going to have the intended effect. And I guess we'll have to wait and see. In that regard, I think, you know, the beverage companies obviously will have to sort of innovate and try and – hello?
I'm listening, yeah.
Sorry, I thought the line had dropped there.
No.
They'll have to innovate and sort of there'll be costs within the industry themselves. There'll be additional costs to administer the tax, which obviously is hard to estimate right now. So there's a lot of costs involved. I guess there's a two-step process in that, you know, the sugar tax for one, will it have the desired impact in terms of on consumer use patterns, in other words, people actually decreasing their use of sugar beverages. And to the extent that you can show that, then it's whether that decrease in the sugar use of sugary beverages then has an impact on the health system and whether there actually are less diseases stemming from that. So it'll be interesting to see how it sort of plays out.
And has there been any indication from the soft drink, the sugary drinks manufacturers in South Africa, and what has been the experience in other jurisdictions where the sugar tax has been imposed? Do the manufacturers reduce the amount of sugar in a drink in order to minimize the increase in price of their product?
Yeah, look, I think everyone and all the big industry players need to have a look at this, and they've obviously probably have their own work streams, you know, in terms of factoring in how they're going to handle this. I think whether it was the potential imposition of the sugar tax or not, but I think, you know, there's always a drive towards more health consciousness in our society. So I think even prior to the sugar tax, a lot of the beverage companies were already sort of downsizing some of their sugary beverages, you know, trying to lower it to some extent, innovating. So I think it's maybe going to have some sort of impact outside of just merely the tax, in that maybe we see more healthier drinks on the market, and yeah, that's maybe a good thing.
Jerome Brink, thank you very much. A senior associate in the Tax and Exchange Control Practice at Cliff Dekker Hofmeyr.